Hey guys, and we're back once again. Everybody knows me. I'm Jen.
And I'm Barry.
And yes, you did hear that correctly. That is Barry. We have a blast from the past guest co-host. Our buddy Carrie had some issues, so, you know,
he... The topic was 80s music. I was like, I gotta get into this somehow.
Absolutely. And I do need you to speak up a little bit, darling. I'm having trouble picking you up on my mic.
Okay.
Oh, that's much better. But yeah, so Carrie decided to do the nice thing, and we got Barry on the line today, so we are going to have fun with this. Before we get started, any news? Because I have seen pretty much nothing. As far as I swear, the Hiddleston baby is going to be in college before we even know if it's male or female.
Well, speaking of Hiddleston, there is some Hiddleston news that was out this week involving him and Mark Hamill, of all people. You know, we recently had May the 4th, so Star Wars is in everybody's thoughts. But, yeah, according to Deadline, Hiddleston is going to be involved in a Stephen King adaptation. It's going to be a...
little more volume.
Adaptation. Huh?
A little more volume.
It's going to be an adaptation of an anthology called If It Bleeds, The Life of Chuck.
Okay, and that is Stephen King, right?
It is Stephen King. It came out in 2020, and it's not one I'm familiar with. But apparently the anthology has different stories set along this one character's life.
Okay.
And they're apparently adapting one or two of those stories into this film.
Nice. And
I'm assuming, I could be completely wrong, but I'm assuming maybe Mark Hamill plays the character at the end of his life.
Or he directs it.
Well, I know he's not the director. Huh. The director is a guy named Mike Flanagan.
Okay.
Who previously directed Dr. Sleep, which was a good movie, and also The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix.
Ooh, I do like that one.
So he's got some horror bona fides.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if you know, Hamill and Hiddleston are just co-stars, or if, like
Hiddleston.
I said, maybe they play the same character at a different point in their lives.
Right. And we might not know for a little while, but hey, that does mean the man is out and acting, which is a good thing, because
yes,
we miss him. No more news on the Johnny side of things. We do know that he is going to be involved in the new Beetlejuice that's going to be coming out. Other than...
Have they confirmed that?
Yes, they have confirmed that not only is Johnny Depp, but all original major characters are confirmed as far as having signed contracts. That Winona Ryder, Gina Davis, whichever Baldwin it was, Michael Keaton, have all agreed to be in it.
Well, I know Jenna Ortega is going to be playing Winona Ryder's daughter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They confirmed that. I saw that in an article earlier this week.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, I'm a big Jenna Ortega fan. I loved her in the Wednesday series, and she's great in the new Scream, also Scream 6.
I'm sorry, I loved the first three Scream movies. I thought they were incredibly well done.
Mm.
After the third one, though, the fourth one was okay. After that, yeah, I kind of got bored.
I thought the fifth one was pretty good. That kind of brought back all the originals and then kind of introduced the new set of characters. And six, the newest one, is, I think, the best is the first.
Really?
Yeah, it's streaming now on Paramount Plus, so I didn't see it in the theater. I waited for it to stream. But it is really, really good.
Is this the one where they kill off... Because I did see the one where they killed off Dewey.
Dewey? No, that was five.
All right, that's the last one I saw.
Yeah, that was five. And so this one's the sequel to that one.
Okay.
And so all the surviving characters from that one are back in this one.
Well, I can't watch one without Dewey.
Yeah, and they definitely reference Dewey a lot in it. But yeah, it's really good. If you get a chance, I would recommend it.
Definitely, if I get the chance to. My Kindle has died, so, and I don't own a TV, so I'll have to see what I can do about begging, borrowing, or stealing one to watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely going to have to be put on the to-do list. Speaking of to-do lists, we are to-doing, ta-da, the 80s, 1987, 88, 89 music. We are going to get this wrapped up in the next few podcasts, people. And not next week, but week after, stay tuned for mine and Carrie's, possibly Barry's if I talk him into doing one, top 100 list of the 80s personalized top 100 list of the 80s.
Oh, there's no way I could put them in any kind of order, though, because my list would change from moment to moment.
Right. See, I've thought about that, too. So mine's going to be like, this is number 1 through 10 or 1 through 15 in no certain order.
Yeah.
This is number. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not really going to have a number order. It's just going to be, these are the cannot be beaten. These can only be beaten by the ones in this category. These can only be beaten by these two categories. That kind of thing.
Gotcha.
There's no way to actually narrow it down to only 100 songs and try to put a numeric value on everything. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, in 87, 88, and 89, these 3 years, I turned 15, 16, and 17 in these years.
Hey, yep.
So these were you know, kind of core years for me. I mean, this is when I was, because I was already into music, but this is when I really started buying music myself a lot.
Right.
Because, you know, I actually had a little bit of spending money, and I remember I would go out and get the Ka-Singles. I remember Ka-Singles.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
If anybody out there listening, they were cassettes that only had like two songs on them, one on the front and one usually on the back.
And for anybody who's listening out there, a cassette was what came before a CD.
Yes. After 8-tracks and before CDs.
And after records.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Should I say, at pretty much during the same time as records at certain points.
True.
But yeah. So, if you don't know what a cassette is, I'm sure you've seen the meme that shows this weird, funky-looking thing with this tape coming out of it and a pencil. And it says, if you don't know the correlation, you're too young for me. That's a cassette.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to have to rewind those cassettes sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Or it would stick and it wouldn't want to play, so you'd have to take a pencil and wind it up a little bit so that it would get past that sticky part, and then it would play.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. But, all right, 1987. I heard one of the biggest jokes I remember from that era was about the song that came in at number 4.
Okay.
Said Whitney Houston wants to dance with somebody who loves her. She should take Billy Idol's advice and dance with herself.
Okay.
Of course, you know, I didn't get around to telling the joke. I believe it was 80. Oh, I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. But Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream.
Yeah.
You know, what do you call Dolly Parton in a bubble bath?
mountains in the stream there.
Well, yeah. Not so much anymore because she has gotten the reduction. And that woman still looks absolutely fantastic, and she has no problem saying, yep, I've got some really good plastic surgeons.
Well, and she's got a rock and roll album coming out.
Really?
Yeah, you know, she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, and so she said she might as well record a rock album.
Okay.
And so it's mostly covers with a few new songs, but she's got a lot of duets and stuff on it. You know, the two surviving Beatles are going to be on it with her.
That was very cool.
Yeah, she's doing some stuff with some of the Stones. I know she's doing a duet with Miley Cyrus of Wrecking Ball.
Nice. Which happens to be, of course, Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter.
Yes.
Although, you know,
I think Dolly is her godmother.
Oh, very cool. I tell you what, though, as far as Miley Cyrus is concerned, you know, she swings naked on a wrecking ball and licks a hammer. You know, it's called art. I do it. They call the cops.
Yeah. Now, Now, number one for 87.
Uh-huh.
Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yes, the Bengals.
Yeah, now, you know, I always had a big crush on Susanna Hoffs. And,
Who didn't?
Well, and you know, that video always, there's that close-up of her eyes.
Of her face, yeah. Where she, yeah. And she rolls her eyes from back to forth. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was reading something about that, and apparently she didn't realize that they were doing that tight close-up.
Ah, and she was rolling her eyes for the, yeah, that actually makes sense.
She would usually do that anyway, because it's one of her ways of combating stage fright, is what she'll do is she'll lock eyes with somebody in the audience, and then she'll pan her eyes to somebody on the other side.
Gotcha. That actually makes sense.
Yeah. And that song was also kind of a source of tension in the band.
Because, was it?
You know, generally Susanna Hoffs sings lead on the Bangles songs.
Right.
But this song is kind of interesting because three of the four Bangles actually take turns
doing the lead. That's right. I remember that.
Well, what was happening was when they originally did it, all four of them sang. And the record company didn't care for the audio track laid down by the drummer. And so they said, we're not going to use that.
Oh, boy.
The three. And then not only that, they replaced the drummer with a drum machine.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so on that particular song, she barely does anything. And in the video, she's the one who, they don't even have her playing the drums in the video. She's just standing there. She's the one with the tambourine.
Right, you know, yeah. Yep.
She was very annoyed by that song.
I bet. Well, now, number eight. That song, at the time that it came out, I didn't think too much of it. I really didn't. But there's a line in the song, or a couple of lines in the song. Hey, little boy, you can't play with the others because you don't look like they do. Hey, old man, how can you stand to think that way? Did you really think about it before you made the rules?
Yeah.
It never hit me back then what he was talking about. He was talking about, of course, racism.
Yes, yeah.
Which was, believe it or not, it still strikes me as odd, but believe it or not, in the 80s, racism was still very prevalent and very open. Not so much in the 90s. Pretty much in the 90s was like one of the best decades for not dealing with racism. But the 80s? Now, see, around my house, in my schools, we didn't know what racism was. I mean, that little black kid over there, that was just a kid. You know, the little black girl with the bows in her hair, that was just a little girl you played with. You know, there was no black and white. There was no difference of culture or how you were raised. Pretty much my parents raised me the way most black people raised their kids back then, you know. If I didn't do what I was told, I got smacked upside the head or across the bottom. You know, I had to go pick my own switch. My mother would use a flip-flop if she could find nothing else. I'm telling you. But yeah, we didn't see that the racism thing back in the 80s where I was raised. We just didn't see it. We didn't notice it. We didn't know it was a thing.
Right. Yeah, it's a classic song, The Way It Is by Bruce Hornsby and The Range.
Right.
Yeah, good song. You know, I tell you, when I looked at this list, all 100, I recognized every song on the list except for one.
Okay, what was the one?
And it's number three for the year. It was Shake You Down by Gregory Abbott. And I could not remember that at all. And so I had to go, and I went today and I actually listened to it. And I recognized it. It's a little R&B, you know, song. And
okay, so that's not the song I'm thinking of. Shake down, take down, break down.
No, that's Glenn Frey. Yeah.
Okay.
This is an R&B song. I want to shake you down. And and I actually read the Wikipedia entry, which says, you know, under a, you know, I think it was under the description of the song, says the song is about sex.
Ah.
But the song itself I didn't recognize, but it was just so funny because I was looking at this whole list and I was like, how can I not know a song that was number 3 for the year?
Right.
But I did recognize it, but I'm pretty sure I have not heard that song since 1987.
Oh, wow. Oh, number 11. All you got to do is hear the opening riff. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Everybody knows. La-la-la-la-la-bamba.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that song. And
I said Shakedown was Glenn Frey, but it's not. It's Bob Seger, and it's actually on this list at number 9.
Yep, there it is. And right below, yep. Now, number 10, there's an interesting thing about song that's on number 10 on the list. See, is it an 88 or... Give me just one second. Is it 88, 89, or is it 87? I think it is 87. Number 10 on the list becomes the number 1 song worldwide. Number 1 hit song worldwide is Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer for 1987. So, and it only made, what, number 10 on our list?
Yeah, number 10.
Now, you were talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too. I want to go back to that for just a minute. In 1987 as well, Aretha Franklin broke another glass ceiling. She was the first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame on January 3rd, 1987.
Nice.
Yep, and now other inductees for 1987 are the Coasters, Eddie Cochran, Bo Diddley, Marvin Gaye, Bill Haley, Clyde McFadder, I'm not sure who that is, Ricky Nelson, Roy Orbison, Carl Perkins, Smokey Robinson, and of course, Jackie Wilson.
Nice.
Lots and lots of R&B there.
I wanted to mention the song at number 12, Everybody Had Fun Tonight by Wang Chung.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm a closet Wang Chung nut.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's it. We're done. Nope.
I've never seen them in concert, but I have, like, this and a couple of their other hit songs. I have, like, multiple versions of on my Spotify.
Wow.
They did a version a few years ago with, like, an orchestra. I've got it. I've got some remixes. I just love Wang Chung. They're awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're so cheesy. They're a cheesy 80s group, but
they really are.
I just love their stuff. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Absolutely. And... Okay, so do you know what that line is in reference to?
What, Everybody Wang Chung Tonight?
Yep. One of the band members actually said it once.
Oh, no, I just figured it was because of the band's name, you know.
Nope, it is a reference to sex, to trying to get laid.
Okay. I think everything is a reference to sex and music.
In the 80s? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's either sex or money.
That, you know, that was, speaking of sex, that reminds me of number 19, Money Money by Billy Idol.
Oh, yes.
I always remember this because he said that the reason why he wanted to do a cover of it is this is the song he lost his virginity to.
Oh, wow. No wonder. Hey. Hey, say what? Get laid, get fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and number 16. I am sorry. I don't know much that this woman has done. I do know that song is definitely making my top 100. I absolutely adore that song.
Looking for a new love.
That is it. I'm looking for a new love, baby. Oh, hell yeah. I mean, shit, that is a personal fuck you to her ex. I don't care where you're coming from. That is a, you know what? Bye. So, yeah, absolutely love that one. And I have heard so many people talk about number 18 even now.
Oh, yeah, Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now.
Yup. Lots and lots of people.
I remember when everybody was like, you know, not like a big, it wasn't like a Coke Pepsi thing, but, you know, there was a, you know, which do you find less annoying, you know, Debbie Gibson or Tiffany?
Right.
And I do think, you know, Debbie Gibson had some really, really catchy songs, but Tiffany had a voice.
Oh, yes, and I'm really surprised that she did not go further. I don't know if she just quit on it or if the public quit on her.
Yeah, I mean, and she's still out there performing. And years later, she went and, you know, posed for Playboy and stuff.
Trying to break out of that little girl mold.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, she had some pipes. She actually could sing.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, talking about everything is about sex. Ha! Number 24, George Michael.
Yes, I want your sex.
I want your sex.
Yeah, I remember the video when he would write on the naked woman's body.
Oh, well, assuming she was naked, I mean.
Well, she certainly looked naked.
Well, yeah, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great song. I remember how controversial it was.
And oh, yes.
And we have stuff like WAP out there, which is, you know, much more direct.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I do remember George Michael trying to say, oh, the song's actually about, you know, serial monogamy.
No, it's not.
It is not.
It is not. And he's one to talk about serial monogamy. Come on now.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, it was about the opposite of serial monogamy.
Pretty much, yeah. And then again, at number 28, Amy Grant, who happened to be at the time a well-known religious Christian singer.
Yeah.
Did with Peter Cetera, The Next Time I Fall. Now, that is one of the most beautiful songs, I think, ever.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah, Next Time I Fall in Love, it'll be with you. Yeah, like you can make that choice, really.
Yeah.
Oh, 34, Kim Wilde, Keep Me Hanging On.
Yeah, great song.
Definitely. I can think of several people, you know, throughout the years that would have fit.
Now, I love number 35, Keep Your Hands to Yourself.
Oh, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself. Yeah, Georgia Satellite's one of the few songs that actually made any lists at all, ever.
Yeah.
True. Yep. Now, number 36, I'm not familiar with that one. And I'm surprised because George Michael was one of my favorite singers in the 80s.
And he's with Aretha Franklin, that you mentioned getting into the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
I remember the song. It was not one of my favorites. George Michael, for me, in the 80s and in the 90s, tended to be either loved the song.
Or hated it.
Or I really hated it. And that was one that I did not care for, personally.
Yep. Now, let's see.
You got to look at 38, though, Prince.
Yeah, now
that's
see.
That's a great one.
37?
Prince,
37, 38, yeah. 39, 40, 42, 44, and, let's see, and 51. Those songs right there. It's like one after another, just major, major, major hits, major influences. Loved all of them. Somewhere Out There, wasn't that in a movie?
It was. I think it was that one with the little mouse, Fievel or whatever.
Fievel, that's it!
Yeah, I forget the name of the movie. I don't think it was called Fievel. But, yeah, I remember that one. That song was so overplayed. My gosh.
Now, that it was, however, it was a, and it still is, to me, that is a classic 80s. I mean, it's got the 80s feel, it's got the 80s sound, it's got the 80s heart. Nowadays, music, there's no heart. The crap that they call music now, there's no feeling to it at all, unless you want to count hate. But there's no good vibe for pretty much anything anymore. And it's really disappointing to me. I mean, I hate that this is what my kids and grandkids are growing up listening to.
Well, speaking of, you know, sex songs, 44, Touch Me, I Want Your Body by Samantha Fox.
The only one I can equate her to would be maybe Lita Ford, as far as the whole sex sells kind of deal.
Yeah.
Or that or Doro Pesh. Doropesh from Warlock.
Okay.
Big German woman. But she had a rocking body and had no problem showing it off.
Yeah, Samantha Fox started as a page three girl in England, which, they, of course, it had a ton of tabloid newspapers over there. And one of them was The Sun. And they decided that, you know, on page three, so you would always flip open, you know, the first page. And then there on page three would be a topless girl.
Aha. Uh-huh. And speaking of The Sun, this is the same paper. This is the same rag mag.
Yes.
That Johnny Depp tried to sue and lost because the guy who owns and controls The Sun, it was his uncle who was the judge in the case. But there was no favoritism. There was no nepotism there. No.
Of course not.
Of course not. That doesn't happen in England. But yeah, okay, go ahead. So that, so she started out as a topless page three girl.
Yes, and you know, she definitely had the body for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then moved into music and, you know, kind of parlayed her notoriety into her success. And she was more popular in England.
Oh, she was mildly successful here. She had two hits.
Yeah.
And I was looking, I don't see the second one.
Yeah,
I do not see Naughty Girls Need Love Too.
Yeah, I remember at the time, I remember this one guy that I went to high school with, and he had so much a crush on her, and bought, like, I forget if it was a Playboy or Penthouse they had her pictures in, and but he brought it to school, and of course, you know, at lunch we all gathered around to look at it. That would never happen. You'd never even get through that through the metal detectors and stuff now. But
I apologize. I was wrong. I just did a search on my list. Naughty Girls Need Love 2 did not hit the list until 1988.
Okay.
It came in at number 28.
Wow.
Right between Father Figure at number 27 by George Michael and A Groovy Kind of Love by Phil Collins at number 29.
Wow. That's quite a trio of songs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's okay. At one of the previous years, what was it? I'm trying to remember. I'll come up with it in a minute. But there were two back-to-back that were just, they played off of each other. Trying to think, which one was it? It was recently, we discussed it just recently, so. Was like Superman and Supergirl or something like that. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. Kind of glancing through my list real quick and I'm not seeing it straight up. So, oh, here we go. In 1985, number 28 and 29 was Lover Boy by Billy Ocean and Lover Girl by Tina Marie.
Oh, nice. I love Lover Boy. That's a great song.
Oh, yeah. But now, back
there's one here on 87 I wanted to kind of point out, and that's that people forget that Bruce Willis had a brief musical career.
Right. Well, and, most people are too young to have remembered it.
Yeah. Number 89 for the year was Respect Yourself by Bruce Willis.
Yup.
Just a couple of, you know, songs down below Bruce Springsteen. He's ahead of Cool in the Gang and The Pretenders.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty successful song.
Oh, yeah. It certainly. I mean, it made the top 100 list, considering there are thousands of songs released every year.
Yeah.
And the fact that it made the top 100 of the year is insane. At 98 in 1987 now?
Yeah.
Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right to Party. Now, the Beastie Boys were original because they were white and rappers. That was not a thing in the 80s. Okay, it is now. Not a big deal now. You know, you want to rap? Go ahead, rap. No problem. In the 80s, not so much. But they also had another first, the Beastie Boys did. On January 16th, those of you who don't know, there used to be this thing called network television. And on network television, they played certain shows every week. Well, on Saturdays, they played a show called American Bandstand, where they would have new artists performing. It was all about the music. They showed videos. They did interviews. It was really cool. In 1987, the Beastie Boys became the first act ever to be censored on American Bandstand. They are also the reason why they started using like a 30 or a 45 second delay instead of broadcasting live. They started using, it was less than a minute, but they started using a delay just in case.
You know, and it's not surprising that they would do that to the Beastie Boys, but I'm just surprised that they hadn't already instituted that, or if they hadn't already, you know, censored somebody by that point.
Nope. That's because it was such a high honor to be asked to be on American Bandstand. Most bands were, read all up till this point, were respectful and courteous and very, very conscious of what was allowed and what was not. Beastie Boys, just like the rappers that came before and, you know, came after, Beastie Boys just didn't give a shit.
Right.
So, you know.
Now, moving into 88, the number one song was Faith by George Michael.
George Michael had quite a few in the top 10 from his very first album.
Yeah. Well, what I always remember about this song, of course, and I can't just say Faith, it's always Faith, a Faith.
Oh, always.
I always remember, you know, his ass, because the video,
yep,
was mainly his, it was wearing tight blue jeans, and it was close up on his ass.
Was it was it blue jeans or was it leather pants? I thought it was leather pants.
No, they're blue jeans. Uh-huh. I can see his ass very clearly in my head.
You know, that's a sad commentary on the 80s.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I just remember Faith thought him,
yep,
shaking his ass.
Baby! Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hands to Heaven, number 9. I don't think I've heard that song since the 80s.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard it since 88.
But yeah, after seeing this, one of the things I am going to post on the podcast is I'm going to create a Spotify list of each year, 1980 through 89, with just the top 100 songs of each year, the ones that I can find. I should be able to find them all, I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah, you should be able to.
But once I do that, I will post on our blog the names of the playlist on Spotify so that if you guys want to look them up, listen to them, hey, they'll be right there, easy access. You won't have to do any of the work yourself.
Yeah, and you know, before you put all the effort into creating it, you ought to look to make sure somebody hasn't already done it.
I did, and for a couple of years, someone already has. But okay. The thing about it is I don't feel comfortable advertising for someone else.
Right.
So that's why I'm going to put it together under the Depheads and Hiddlestoners name. That way, anybody who wants to listen to them, just look up Depheads and Hiddlestoners playlists, and there you go.
Yep. Well, that'll work.
That way, you know, there's no confusion. There's nobody, you know, emailing or texting me going, hey, the hell do you think you're doing? You know?
Right.
But, yeah, speaking of George Michael, he's got the number 1. He's got the number 11. He's got, I think he's got 4 on this list. 3 or 4.
I see him at 45 with Monkey.
Yep, that's 3. And then, I thought there was at least 4.
He's at 91 with Kissing a Fool.
Yep, that's 4.
Yep.
Now at number 40, Patrick Swayze, guys, he passed away several years ago, had pancreatic cancer, and God rest his soul, lady took look after him. That was a sad day, and we lost a genuine good soul that day. Yeah. This man, I've never seen him in a movie that I didn't like. He had an amazing voice. He was an incredible writer. most people only knew him from his acting, but there were so many different facets to him. He was an incredible person.
I wanted to mention at number 5, Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. Rock of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And at number 4, this one's mainly famous for, you know, being, everybody was getting Rickrolled a couple of years ago. Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. Every teenager in the world knows this song now, of course, because of the whole internet thing of Rickrolling people.
What is Rickrolling? Okay, I'm lost.
Never been Rickrolled?
No. What is Rickrolling? I may be too old. What is Rickrolling?
It's basically people will send you a link and, you know, they'll say it's a link for whatever. And when you click it, it just takes you to a Rick Astley video of Never Gonna Give You Up.
Well, see, that would be why I've never been Rickrolled, because I don't click on links unless I know who's sending it to me and I know what it is.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. You know, even people you would trust would Rickroll you. You
know, well, I mean, it's not like it's a virus that it's going to, you know, that's all your phone will ever play from now on is Rick Astley, but...
Right.
Oh, my God, I just said it, which means somebody is going to freaking do it. Oh, my God.
Now, speaking of Tiffany, when I mentioned that what a great voice she had,
yes.
The song I was specifically thinking of, was it number 8, Could Have Been.
Oh, yeah. And that really is an incredible song.
Yeah, it is.
Number 15, Billy Ocean. Out of my dreams and into my car.
Yeah.
Oh, Exposé with Seasons Change.
Exposé is one of those bands that I think people who weren't around at the time don't know how big they were.
And
Exposé,
yeah,
had a lot of hits.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, and this was one of my sister's favorite songs of the year. Number 18.
Yeah.
Headed for the 90s, living in the wild, wild west.
Wild west, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hold On to the Night, Richard Marx.
Yeah.
Hungry Eyes, Eric Carmen.
That's a good song.
One of the sexiest songs ever. Johnny Hates Jazz. I think this is the only time we see Johnny Hates Jazz on the list.
I'm pretty sure, but Shattered Dreams is a great song.
Oh, it is. Incredible. Def Leppard with Love Bites.
Yeah. Sugar on Me was just a few songs ahead of that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pour Some Sugar on Me. Woo. You just don't know.
My son is a huge fan of A Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bengals.
Well, who's not? I mean, really.
He loves their version.
And then, oh, my God, I hate this song. Guess which one it is.
Kokomo by the Beach Boys?
No. Don't Worry. Be Happy.
Oh, yeah.
No. No.
Yeah, I got really, really bored of that song.
Oh, God. You talk about overplayed.
Yeah, I would change it if it came on back then.
You and me both. Elton John once again comes through. Number 43, I Don't Want to Go On With You Like That.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite 80s bands at number 46 with Devil Inside, In Excess.
Yeah.
Then you've got The Locomotion. We were just discussing that.
Yep.
And number 48, I Don't Want to Live Without Your Love, Chicago.
Yeah, 65 is another great In Excess tune, New Sensation. And at 66 is one of my my favorite obscure 80s songs. Pretty Poison, Catch Me, I'm Falling.
It's only obscure now.
Yeah. I mean, it's obscure now, but at the time, it was a big hit.
Pretty Poison was, I don't think, back then they were classified as hard rock.
Really?
But,
I think this is the only song by them I know.
Okay, they were classified as hard, either heavy metal or hard rock. But they were all girls.
Yeah.
So that was another something that just wasn't done. And then, of course, at number, a couple of things. Pebbles came out with some really, really good stuff. Girlfriend. And I saw another one.
Mercedes boy at 63.
And that's it, Mercedes boy. Those two are amazing. And then you have at number... All right, where did it go? Oh, number 71, Elton John's tribute to Marilyn Monroe.
Yep. And later he used it for Princess Di.
Yes, he did. And I can't think of a more appropriate song.
Yeah, Candle in the Wind.
We were discussing, me and Carrie were discussing a couple of podcasts back about when Princess Diana passed away. And it's like one of those defining moments in your life. The line in Twilight, at the very beginning of one of the movies, childhood is not at a certain point where you put away childish things. No, childhood is the kingdom where nobody dies. And that was one of the defining moments in my life, was when Diana passed away. It was like, wow, you know, if that can happen to someone so good and so sweet, we're all bound. So, yep, it's like that. For kids a little bit further out, you've got the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Is a defining moment. But yeah, Princess Diana was definitely one of the first for me.
One of the great breakup songs of all time to me is at number 85.
Let's see. Yes. And it's Joan Jett. We were discussing how Joan Jett and Pat Benatar were like that. I'm you know, they're both still around, but I'm like partially reincarnated bits of their spirit.
I was a huge Pat Benatar fan in the 80s.
Oh, I'm still a huge Pat Benatar fan. Screw the 80s.
I need to go find some of her songs. I haven't listened to Pat Benatar in ages.
Oh my God, that's Pat Benatar. Between Pat Benatar, let's see, Pat Benatar, now I can't call the name of the band, the one that does Fire Woman. The Cult.
Oh.
The Cult. You know, pretty much 80s in general, but those two are like, those comprise my, and Ozzy Osbourne and Alice Cooper comprise my, like, karaoke playlist.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. But anything, I made it a habit to practice, anything that Joan Jett or Pat Benatar put out from the 80s on. So anytime I'd hear it, I'd sing to it, which is one of the reasons that I can still sing their songs now when I can't sing pretty much anything else.
Anything else 88 you wanted to hit?
What's that?
Anything else in 88 you wanted to hit?
Yeah, I'm looking right... Oh, haha. Number 98. Nothing But a Good Time by Poison.
Yeah.
The only other song that more encapsulates the 80s for me on that same album, the Poison Look What the Cat Dragged In album, is the song Look What the Cat Dragged In. But I do not believe they ever released that as a single. Let's see, what is it? Went to bed too late and got up too soon. My head's still spinning from too much booze. My hair's in a rat's nest. I look like hell. Half alive or half dead, I just can't tell.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look what the cat dragged in. Oh yeah, love that song. Poison was killer for doing it.
Now, I have to admit, number 99, I don't remember this song.
Wait, I never had a chance to love you, and I only want to say I love you one more time. Remember that song?
Familiar.
You really don't remember that song?
Oh, that sounds familiar. I'm sure I have not heard it since 1988.
Probably not. The only reason that I've heard it since then is because I get bored at night when I was staying at the hotel a couple years ago and watched infomercials. And yes, they still have those. Oh, yeah. Do you remember back in the day they had those get 200 hit songs from da 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 da? Yeah, they still have those. I still remember the parodies that they used to do on Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buckwheat does the 80s or Buckwheat does the hits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And for a while, they were doing parodies of it, too, with the Drunken Idiots. And it would be classic songs, but they were sung by drunken idiots in bars. And so they would, of course, only remember, like, you know, parts of the chorus.
Oh, right. And so they'd...
Yeah, then they'd just make it up words.
Yeah. Okay, 1989, number six.
But before you do that, I just want to say, this was the year of Paula Abdul.
Yes, yes it was.
Because and she has three songs in the top 30.
Right, and number eight, or number six, is one of my absolute favorites.
I mean, cold-hearted.
You're a cold-hearted snake.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, anybody who lived through the 80s remembers the controversy behind number eight.
Oh, yeah.
Millie Vanilli was caught lip-syncing. They were then found never to have recorded their own music. They were just the faces behind in front of the band. They were not the singers at all.
They won Best New Artist at the Grammys.
Oh, yeah. They won a lot of awards that basically they ended up getting taken back.
Well, you know what? I mentioned that Paula Abdul had three songs in the top 30. Millie Vanilli has four.
Yep, I'm seeing that.
Four songs in the top 30.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. Oh, number three, talking about Poison.
Uh-huh.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Yeah, that's a classic song.
Yes. Oh, and at number two, most people know Bobby Brown as Whitney Houston's husband, I guess. Right?
Did you hear what I said?
What?
I said most people know Bobby Brown as Whitney Houston's drug dealer.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, but, and this is really the only song I can remember, because number 19 is also Bobby Brown. I don't remember On Our Own.
Yeah, I don't remember On Our Own. He had several hits, though, but My Prerogative is probably my favorite song that he ever did.
Oh, yeah, and number 17, Roxette is another obscure band now that most people don't understand.
And see, to me, Roxette is like Wang Chung. I love them. I have every Roxette song on my playlist. They're cheesy, but they are classic.
But they speak so much truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know, Listen to Your Heart.
Oh, great song.
Baby, Listen to Your Heart before you tell them goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? Just awesome. Oh, and it is also the introduction of New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. I was not a New Kids fan.
I was not either.
Yeah,
however, just a couple of steps above New Kids at number 24, Simply Red. Now that was one of the best bands ever.
Now, is this one that is...
You know me by now. You will never know me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, number 29, a lot of people will know this song.
I love that song.
But a lot of people will know it because of the mashup that... I guess you'd call it a mashup. With Eminem.
Eminem used part of
Toy Soldiers, yes.
What song?
I'm wanting to say it was Stan, but I'm not 100% sure.
See, I've never been a big Eminem person.
Give me just a second. Let's see. I gotta spell it right though. Let's see, M-E-N. Give me just one second. I'm looking. Eminem with Martika. And y'all have to apologize. I have to apologize. Y'all know how I get. If I can't remember, it's going to bug me forever. All right, let's see. Like toy soldiers. Okay, it doesn't give me the song name. It's actually called Toy Soldiers.
Okay, yeah, Toy Soldiers by Martika, that version, I love that song.
Toy Soldiers with Martika and Eminem. Yep, so they redo it, but with Eminem rapping his own lyrics.
Okay.
Yep, but people will know it from that before they know it from the original version. Now, number 30, Forever Your Girl.
Yeah.
You got to remember, I'm forever your girl.
Yeah, I was dating a girl in high school, and that was the song she dedicated to me.
Aww.
Yeah, I still remember, but she wasn't forever my girl. She was also a couple other people's girl.
No, that's unfortunate, but that is also high school.
Yeah, it was, I know.
Now, number 35 created the video that shocked, wowed, and amazed everyone. Cher at, was it 50 or was it 60? I think it was 50.
I think it was
50-something. It was edging towards 60, if I remember correctly. Did a video on a naval ship wearing a T-back bikini bathing suit and frigging fishnet hose.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm sorry. I didn't look that good at 20.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, even nowadays she is, you know, she is, what, she's got to be close to, if she's not already, 80?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is in the 80s, and she was at least 50, edging towards 60, so yeah. That was 40.
Is 6 years old.
She's what?
76.
Okay, so yeah, she's edging toward 80. But yeah, she's, I believe she has suffered a stroke. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Her face doesn't have much movement, but I think that may be just all the plastic surgery.
No, that it could be. Now, Wild Thing, number 33, Tone Loc.
Yeah, that's a great one. And so is Bust a Move by Young MC at 42. Those are both fun rap songs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, and of course, this was also the year of the very best Batman movie to ever be created, 1989, which means Prince had several hits from that album, one of which being number 44. Okay, yeah. You're cutting out really badly. I don't know if you're getting a beep and somebody's trying to get in touch with you, but you keep blanking out on me.
Yeah, Bad Dance is a great one. What this town needs is an enema.
This town needs is an enema. Absolutely. Oh, now, Michael.
43, I wanted to mention Once Bitten, Twice Shy, which is still one of my favorite songs to sing along to.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then you've got Jody Watley again with at number 46 with Real Love. But
right,
what I wanted to point
Shack.
What I wanted to point out was number 45.
Okay.
Do you know who Michael Damian was? Do you know what he did originally?
Well, yeah, he was on Young and the Restless.
Yes.
He was the character who dated Cricket. I forget what his, it was Danny was his character.
Danny.
Name.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to watch that show all the time.
Well, so, and what's funny is before that, John Stamos was Blackie on Young
really?
And the Restless.
Is that John Stamos?
John Stamos was Blackie.
Wow.
Yep. Bobby Brown again at number 48.
Oh, yeah, Every Little Step. That's another big one by him.
Oh, yeah, let's see. At New Kids on the Block several times with number 49, Hanging Tough, and number 52, You Got It, The Right Stuff.
I wanted to mention at 57,
yes.
Donny Osmond,
yes.
Soldier of Love. I love that song. It's a great song. And I remember that at the time, he was trying to kickstart his career again.
Yeah, he was trying to give it a boost, and unfortunately, it did not happen. However, Donnie, we love you. You were amazing on The Masked Singer.
Yes.
And he's incredible. During the taping of The Masked Singer, he was also performing 6 or 7 nights a week in Vegas.
Yeah.
So
he's incredible.
He's
very underrated as a performer.
Oh, my God. Yes. And, I mean, you either love him, you hate him, you have no idea who he is. Look him up. Check him out. The man, again, is incredible. He really has a love of the music and of the art that you don't see very often. So,
yeah.
Number 62. That actually kind of encapsulates the whole fuck you attitude. I don't want your love.
Yeah.
Duran Duran. Yeah.
Now, Jen, how could you skip When the Children...
Because I have heard that song way too many times. However, the fact that I skipped number 61...
Yes, 18 in life.
18 in life, you got it. 18 in life, 18 in life. Oh, yeah. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Skid Row, Sebastian Bach being the lead singer.
Yes.
Now, he has maybe not so recently, but he no longer fronts Skid Row. They have another lead singer. Essentially,
yeah,
from...
I was excited last year Skid Row was coming to the Perry Fair.
Right, but they didn't have Sebastian with them.
Yes, and I was like, man, that's incredible. I'll go see them. And then I looked and I saw that he wasn't with them, and I'm like...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Now number 68, that band holds a special place in my heart. The Cure. Oh, love you, love you, love you.
Yeah, I love The Cure.
Absolutely, man. The clothing, the hairstyles, the makeup, the absolute flamboyance. Incredible. Speaking of, to the exact opposite end of the spectrum, number 77. Ozzy Osbourne was starting to make a return after quitting drinking, quitting smoking, quitting drugs. He pretty much cleaned up because they told him if he didn't, he was going to die, like, pretty much immediately.
Right.
So, and he did. He did a really good thing. He's come back from that, and from this album, from this point, he did My Mom Coming Home. He's done several songs with his daughter, which are, believe it or not, I saw her on The Masked Singer too, but believe it or not, the song that Ozzy does with his daughter are incredible. Look them up. It is amazing. The two sound so good together. It's brilliant. Look it up.
Okay, yeah, because I don't think I've heard those.
Oh, I'm sure if you haven't really been looking for it, you probably had. And at number 78 is, again, one of your favorites.
Oh, Tiffany?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and number 81 is a personal favorite of mine.
Loving an Elevator, yeah.
Aerosmith, absolutely. Now, a couple of years before this one was the Run-DMC Aerosmith collaboration. Of course, now the name slips out of my head. I swear to God, my mind is worse than a sieve. Just give me a kiss. Ah, what the hell is that song called? You know the song.
I don't know.
Oh, God. Run DMC and Aerosmith. Come on, now.
Oh, you're talking about
Walk This Way.
Walk This Way, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. We were talking about this when Walk This Way came up on the list, and I thought I was remembering incorrectly. However, I re-listened to the song, and I was 100% correct. Yeah, Just Give Me a Kiss is not the line in the Run DMC version. He says, just give me some head.
Oh, okay, so they changed it.
Yeah, he says, just give me some head. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe they did that.
Well, I was distracted for a moment because I was looking at I Want to Have Some Fun by Samantha Fox at 87.
Oh, yeah.
Another song by her.
Oh, that, so that makes three. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, now, just a few before that, the only one I've ever heard from this band to actually hit one of the lists, Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. What yeah, I am I to, is what I am. Are you what you are or what?
I used to make fun of that song, and I'd call it the Popeye song.
Oh, yeah, I know. I yam what I yam.
Yeah, what I yam is what I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And now at 91, this was Alice Cooper's return after several years of not really doing a whole lot or not being in the popular eye. But with the album Poison, and I actually got to see this concert.
So you were actually there live for this one?
Yes, I actually got to see this concert, the return tour is what they were calling it, was the quote unofficial name of it. But yeah, I actually got to see this one live and in person. It was amazing and just as theatrical as the one that almost cost him his life. And I think it was 80. I think it was 89. Let me check it out. Let's see. Or was it 88? I do apologize. I should have this stuff listed. It was 88. On April 7th, Alice Cooper almost died during a concert. He was using, one of his props was the gallows, which is exactly what it sounds like. But they did not use, it was not exactly a full-on real gallows, of course, but it wasn't entirely fake either. And he liked to lost his head, literally. The gallows malfunctioned, and he almost died.
Wow.
So, yeah, the Poison Tour was just as theatrical, if not quite as dangerous, as the previous tour. But, yeah.
For you, the comeback tour is almost the final tour.
Hey, no kidding. But the sad thing is if he had died, nowadays people would have been going, oh, my God, I so wish I had been at that concert.
Yeah.
Okay, why, people? Really? It's like number three, Dale Earnhardt, when he wrecked for the final time. Oh, man, I wish I'd have been at that race. I wish I'd have seen that. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Just so you could say, oh, I was there when he died. Bully for you. So were 10,000 other people. It doesn't make you special. It just makes you weird.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. Sorry. I just, that really gets me when people do that. There were a few more on this list that we kind of jumped over a little bit. Number 50, Rod Stewart, My Heart Can't Tell You No.
Rod Stewart fan. Some of his older stuff, like Maggie and stuff like that, but yeah, the stuff he was doing in the 80s, I was not a fan of.
Okay. Then you've got number 32, Eternal Flame by the Bangles. You've got When I See You Smile by Bad English. Cannot forget that song. Let's see. Number 15, Heaven by Warrant. Heaven isn't too far away.
Crazy.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. The Look. Talked about that a bit. Number 5 and number... Where's the other one? There's a couple of them on here by Miss Janet Jackson. And yes, guys, she did more than show her tits at the Super Bowl.
Janet Jackson, for a while there in the late 80s, early 90s, was at that moment bigger than her brother.
Oh, yes. Huge.
I mean, she had the Pleasure Principle. She had Control. She had, you know, Rhythm Nation.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I was buying her cassettes at the time, and I was a big fan.
Oh, yeah. And, she was right out there with Paula Abdul. What a lot of people don't remember about Paula Abdul, she did not start out as a singer.
Yeah, she was a
choreographer. She was a choreographer for the singers. And then, for some reason, there was someone that needed a backup or something. I can't remember the exact situation. And she happened to be there and stepped in, and they were like, hey, you got a voice. You know, let's do something with this.
Yeah.
So, she did not. She was not originally a singer. Oh, Will to Power.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, I Love Your Way, the Freebird medley. And yeah. Anybody who lives in the South, if you don't know Freebird, get out.
I had some friends who were big rock people, and they hated this version.
Oh, most people who love the original Freebird hate this version.
But I liked it too. It didn't bother me.
Yep. Now then, you've got number 10, number 11, 12, 13, and 14. Okay. Every single one of them. Number 12, Waiting for a Star to Fall. Number 11, I'll Be Right Here Waiting for You, Richard Marx. Number 13, Lost in Your Eyes by the eternally annoying Debbie Gibson. And Don't Want to Lose You, Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of these are incredibly, incredibly, incredibly good songs. Even the ones that I do not personally like. They're still worth listening to, really.
There's somebody on this list. I'm going to have to go and listen to them because they're on the list twice.
Who is that?
64 song and the 69 song. Their name is Karen White, and I don't remember that name or these songs at all.
Okay, 64.
69.
Huh.
And I'm going to have to go listen because, have two songs in the top 100 and me not remember them at all.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I was looking at the Duran Duran, I Don't Want Your Love, but the...
Yeah.
Trying to think. All She Wants Is... I'm thinking that might have been in the 90s, though, instead of in the 80s. All She Wants Is... All She Wants Is. I'm thinking that might be 90s instead of 80s, though. But, Miss You Like Crazy. Natalie Cole is one that you don't see popping up a whole lot, but then again, she was also bigger in the 90s.
Right.
Miss You Like Crazy is an amazing song. And Angel Eyes. Jeff Healey Band. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
And, of course, number 74, we didn't even go there.
Yeah, which one's 74?
Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, which, you know, I was surprised to see that one as low as it was.
Did you know Thriller, the song Thriller by Michael Jackson, only ranked at number, I think it was 17?
Wow. Yeah, see, I would have thought that would have been top five.
It was in one year, he had like 13 or 15 number one songs. I'm trying to think, was that 1980? I'm looking. Let's see. 1981, of course, was Betty Davis Eyes.
Yeah.
And if you've never heard any other song by that artist, everybody knows Betty. Even if you weren't around in the 80s, everybody knows Betty Davis Eyes.
Yeah. So. I heard a great thing from Betty Davis once, and she said that what she loved about this song was for the first time she was cool to her grandchildren. Yeah, once they knew the song was about her, you know, she was cool.
Oh, I was so far off in 1984, Thriller came in at number 78 for the year. Now, the only thing we could think of, me and Carrie, was that it might have been a November or a December release.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we could think of. But yeah, so there's if you go through, and if you would like, Barry, I can send you the full list of the all 10 years.
Okay.
Especially if you're willing, if not to, to come on the podcast and discuss, at least to post on the blog your top 100.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be so hard, though. I mean, even if I don't put them in order, just limiting it to 100.
Well, you can't do top 1,000. Because that encompasses all of them.
Right, yeah.
Okay, if the top 100 is too difficult, then how about just Barry's top songs of the 80s?
Yeah, I might could do that. You
hear that, guys? You hear that? He's not fully committed. Hey, I might could do that. All right.
Yeah.
We won't hold you to it, but I'll send you the list as soon as we get done with the podcast. I'll send you the full list. But yeah, there are a lot of songs for each year, there are a lot of songs that I'm like, that was much more popular than the 30 that came before it.
Well, I think it's interesting what songs have lived on, you know, because there are several songs on that list. It's like, okay, that was big then, but I don't think I've heard it in the 40 years since.
Yeah, we've both said that about a couple of some of the really, really good ones. Like, oh yeah, but I haven't heard it since then.
But then, like, for instance, you know, Welcome to the Jungle, which was pretty low in the top 100.
Everybody knows that song. When you hear that opening scream, you know what song it is.
So it's just interesting to me which ones have lived on.
Oh, and one on... agreed, definitely. No, but one we didn't touch on in 1988, that, again, it's George Michael, and again, it's one that's close to my heart. One More Try, number 11.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, it is. Gotta love it. But, my goodness, we've actually done better, you and I, than me and Carrie. We're at an hour and 12 minutes. So, I think it's time to wrap this thing up. All right, guys. You can get in touch with the podcast by doing the whole Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners thing. You can email us at deppheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. No spaces, no capitals. You can also, we do still have a dedicated phone line. You can call us whenever. I'm not going to guarantee we'll answer, but I will guarantee a call back. And if you want to speak to someone specific, me, Carrie, or Barry, let us know. It goes to my phone, but I will make sure that the guys get the message. We'll make sure that somebody answers you. Just let us know. Give us a time zone you're in and give us an appropriate time to call. We will do so. That number is 949-373-5476. And Carrie is not here to give you his information, and I don't remember it. So you'll have to wait for next one or listen to the previous podcast. But, Barry, do you have personal information to contact information you want to put out?
So you're welcome to go to my website, barryreese.net. It's BarryReese.net. And you can reach me in lots of different ways once you get there.
And that's also a way to get to our blog. You can go to deppheadshiddlestoners.com or barryreese.net and click on the link. So, guys... Yep. We'll check you next time. Keep listening. We'll keep putting them out there. Be safe. Peace and love.
Bye.
Bye.